truths to cling to in troubling times. Next on Sound Doctrine.
I think we always need to fall back on those foundational truths, and there's two of them that I know of that are very strong, and that is God is good and God is love. When chaos is around you, just grab hold of these truths and hold on, because they'll get you through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, His presence will be with you. He's a good God, and He loves me.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hey, you ready to get into some amazing prophecy as we continue through the book of Daniel? Here on Sound Doctrine, we come to the 70 weeks of Daniel. To some, this is rather confusing, but today, Pastor Jeff Johnson will break it all down for us and set out to help us understand it. By the end of our time together, I think you'll be left amazed by how God fulfills His prophetic word with precision and accuracy. What you're about to hear is wonderful prophecy given in response to prayer.
I've said this, and I believe it's true, that this is one of the most important prophecies in the Bible. It will actually help you understand all prophetic events throughout the Scriptures. I love what Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 says, that in the last days, you know, these things are going to be revealed. And he talks about, and many shall travel to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And I always said that that knowledge increasing is knowledge towards prophecy. In the end times, the Spirit would come, just like He says in John 16, 13. He's showing us things to come. And so tonight, we are going to behold things that are coming. And it is exciting. It is mind-blowing. And it is going to open you up to just all the prophetic things that are going on throughout the world. So Daniel is 90 years young. He's excited. He just read the Word of God. And remember, we came out of chapter 9, and look at verse 2 of chapter 9. The first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the Word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Why? Because he was studying Jeremiah. Here's an old guy. He's not going to just hang around and do nothing with his life. He's going to get into the Word, because as the Word gets into us, we're open to be used at any time. So he's reading Jeremiah, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He just fell on his face before the Lord as he read the Word of the Lord. And what did he see? 70 years of captivity, and the captivity was almost up. What was the captivity for? Idolatry, immorality. They had disobeyed the Lord. They had rebelled against God's commandment, especially to let the land lay. After working the land for 6 years, you're to let it rest the seventh year. They never did that. They wanted the buck. They wanted to produce, because they would get more money. And so for 490 years, they did not obey the Lord. So the Lord says, I keep good books, and according to my books, you owe me 70 years. He caused Nebuchadnezzar to rise up and take them away into a strange land. Then the land had rest. The land was just sitting there for 70 years. Man, they had a long rest, huh? In other words, the Lord is saying, if you obey now, you won't have to pay later. You know, there's a Fran oil filter that said, you know, you can either, you know, pay me now and get this put in your car, or pay me later, and then your car will be destroyed, you know, and it shows an old wrecked up thing, you know. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. We need to be obedient now, or we're going to pay later. And it could be destruction in our lives. So the Lord is very serious about obedience. So Daniel sought the Lord in prayer. Remember, prophecy is not just to satisfy our curiosity, but it's to move us to action. And so what we're going to be moved into tonight is, what are you doing for Jesus? Because of these things, how are you living your life? So Daniel got down, he confesses their sin as a people, and he said, we have sinned. There's no excuses, no blame, not blaming anybody else. We have done this. And then he made his request to God to save Jerusalem, to save the people of Israel for his glory. And now Daniel receives his answer from his prayer. Interesting prayer, an incredible prayer, as he confesses his sin. And in a little bit, we're going to see how Daniel says, I have sinned. Even though we don't see the sin of Daniel, even though some people say, I know somebody in the Old Testament that has never sinned, it's Daniel. Oh no, because Daniel himself said, I have sinned. Why? Because he knew in his heart of hearts he had sinned. It might have been secretly, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Daniel says, I have sinned. And as he confesses, then God begins to answer his prayer. So I love it because Daniel's first studying the word, and we need to follow this man. We need to be like Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel in these last days. He's studying the scriptures, finding out what God is saying, and then he's getting on his knees and praying, and then all of a sudden, he begins to hear the voice of God. How many of you have wondered at times, is this God's will for my life? What should I do, Lord? You know, it's like the apostle. Remember that movie? Lord, it's me. What should I do? Where should I go? You know, he's always crying out. And he couldn't hear God's voice. He was so full of anger, so far away from God. But God wants to speak to us. God wants us to understand the times that we're living in so we know how to live. He wants us to understand what we're to be doing in these days. So we left off in verse 20 of Daniel chapter 9. And while I was speaking, while he was praying and confessing my sin, so here he is, just being very honest, and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, for the temple mount, praying that God would not allow it to be desecrated and wiped out. Just, I want to see it built up. I want to see Israel back in the land. And he was just praying. Then all of a sudden, he gets answers. Now, usually God answers three ways, right? He usually says yes, no, and then there's always the dreaded wait. Wait? You know, nobody likes to wait. We hate lines. Hey, I want to get through this line. Hey, fast food, fast this. But it's not sometimes fast answered prayer, is it? Sometimes God just says, you need to wait on me. You'll renew your strength. You'll rise up like with wings as of eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You know, wait upon the Lord and just renew your strength. So waiting is good. But sometimes God answers so fast that it shocks us. There was a time in Acts chapter 12 where, remember, Peter was thrown in prison. Interesting story in Acts 12. He says, it starts in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but it says prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined into the prison and smote Peter on the side. He raised him up, and he said, arise quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. The angel said, gird thyself, get ready, bind on thy sandals. Come on, follow me. And they went out, and he followed him. And he thought he saw a vision. And as he went out, he passed through one street, and the angel all of a sudden departed from him. Verse 11 of Acts 12, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. And he had considered the thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, And many were gathering there, and they were all praying. And then it says in verse 16, because he came to the door, and he started knocking on the door, and Rhoda came after, you know, everybody was praying, going, oh, God, deliver Peter, oh, God. And he's knocking on the door. Rhoda goes to the door and goes, oh, my gosh, that's Peter. She ran back to the group and said, Peter's out there. And they said in verse 16, Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and it says that they were astonished. They were blown away. Why? Because they were just praying about it, and God answered their prayer. And they didn't believe it. Now, what it says to us is, when we pray, do we believe when we pray? Or are we just, well, we got to pray, so let's all pray, and we'll pray. Okay, we did our thing. Or are we really believing God for prayer? When we pray, we need to believe, because then things are changed. And they were astonished because they really weren't believing their prayer. So many times the Bible talks about this. Eliezer, as he was praying for God to show him the woman that he was to take back to his master for his master's son, as he was praying, the woman came up, Rebecca. And remember, there was a whole plan of how he would know if this was the woman. She would say, would you like a drink, and I'll feed your camels. Now, that's no easy feat. I mean, she had to take gallons and gallons of water to feed the camels. And he said, all right, well, that'll be the sign. And Rebecca was right there. As he was praying, Rebecca pulls up and says, would you like something to drink? And can I feed your camels? And he was just blown away. This is her. And sometimes we're shocked by answered prayer. That God answers prayer? Yeah. That's what prayer's all about. To be answered. So prayer moves the hand of God, but it also helps us to hold on to his hand, huh? And to walk with him through the valley of the shadow of death. The prayer is awesome. It's great, but it's sometimes surprising. I love that scripture in Isaiah 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, God says, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And then I'm reminded of David in Psalm 32. He said, and then I cried out to the Lord, and he forgave me of all my sins. But it's like when the thought came into his mind, God had already forgiven him. That's how quick God answers prayer. And just how God moves at times when we pray. Men ought always to pray, Jesus said, and not faint. So Daniel's prayer here is only about 5 minutes long. And God help us to see that prayer doesn't have to be long. You don't have to go, oh, God, You know, I got to stay at this thing because this is serious, man. I mean, this situation is very serious. Like, you have to wail a little bit longer because the sickness is so deep. You know, like, it needs more, like, God! You know, you scream out a little bit louder. But God's just saying, no, it doesn't have to be that. It can be just short and sweet. What a difference 5 minutes can make. And I think sometimes we allow the enemy to rip us off. The scriptures in the Psalms says, before I wake, you know, I'm praying even in my dreams. During the day when I lie down, 5 minutes. But 5 minutes with answered prayer? Is anything so sweet, sweeter than that? That God answers prayer. He hears the prayers of the righteous and he moves to answer them. So this angel is involved here. Interesting. It says in verse 21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, about 3 p.m. So it's daylight, and he's praying, and an angel is used by God. Now, angels, there's 3 of them that are named in the Bible. This one is Gabriel. He's the messenger angel of God that comes to him. And remember what Hebrews says. It makes it very clear about angels. He says, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? There's angels all around us tonight, guys. And they're ministering spirits to minister to us. And you've had your angel kind of interrupt you at times, driving or whatever, where he kept you from something that was heavy coming down upon you. Angels all around us, ministering to us. And I love this part. He says, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. something happened. He touched me and he made me whole. This is the touch of God, man. Remember that woman that touched the hem of his garment? Bingo, man. Just receive from the Lord his touch in our lives. So Daniel, in his head, this is the evening sacrifice. Now, he might be in Babylon, and he might be in a strange country and in darkness, and there's sin everywhere. But Daniel's heart is thinking about sacrifice. He's just thinking about, you know, the Lord and the sacrifice he's allowed for us to be a part of. And then in verse 22, it goes on to say, and he informed me, and he talked with me, and he said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, when he began to pray, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So this angel somehow, some way communicated to Daniel, began to inform him. And I'm sure Daniel was thinking, wow, man, I was blind, but now I'm seeing. I'm beginning to understand what God is saying. His spirit has come again to show us things to come. Tonight, he wants to tap on your shoulder and touch you and say, I want to show you some things. Some things that are very serious that are coming upon this earth. I want you to understand some things that will change your life. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24:15. Understand what Daniel is saying. That's what Matthew 24:15 says. Jesus is saying, I want you to understand it. That's why we're here tonight. So first he says, you're greatly loved. Remember, this is given to a man before Calvary and before Pentecost. You are loved, Daniel. How much more are those of the household of faith loved? How much more is the body of Christ loved, or the bride of Christ loved? How much does God love you tonight? How much does he love me? I love John. John is such an incredible writer. Of course, he wrote the Revelation, but he knew that God loved him. He knew that Jesus loved him. In fact, he said over in John's Gospel, chapter 20, in verse 2, listen to this. And then she ran and come to Simon Peter. And then it says, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, who wrote that but John? And John's not writing it to brag, saying, hey, Jesus loves me. Uh-huh. He loves me. Now, he's not bragging about that. But you know the little children's song we sing. Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? Well, the Bible tells me so. So every single one of us can say tonight, Jesus loves me. That's a beautiful thing to be able to say. He loves me. Isn't that one of those foundational truths that we need to build our lives upon? On a solid rock, that God loves me. He gave his son to die for me. If there was, I was the only person in the world, he would have died for me. It's a special type of love. He called me. He chose me. He loves me. That's a unique thing for the creation to be able to cry out and say, my creator loves me and gave his life for me. But you say, Jeff, he hasn't answered my prayer. Doesn't that mean that he doesn't love me? I mean, if he loved me, he'd answer my prayer, but he's not a Santa Claus and he's not a genie. Because sometimes he sees what you're asking for as something that, yeah, okay, it needs to happen, but it's going to be a time. And so there's a delay. Sometimes delay is vital to his purpose being accomplished in my life and in your life. And he doesn't, you know, love us less. I mean, he loves Daniel. How much more does he love you? I mean, we're just equal with Billy Graham and Chuck Smith. God loves those guys, doesn't he? A lot. And he loves us. No matter what goes on. And when in doubt, I think we always need to fall back on those foundational truths. And there's two of them that I know of that are very strong. And that is, God is good and God is love. When chaos is around you, just grab hold of these truths and hold on. because they'll get you through the valley of the shadow of death even. You know, his presence will be with you. He's a good God, and he loves me. That's why the Lord says, trust in me with all of your heart. Don't lean to what? Your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. I will bless you and give you direction for your life. So these will keep us going. James says it like this: you have not because you ask not. We need to ask. Lord, make us men and women of prayer. Help us to be those who seek your face, who don't lean to our understanding, but just say, Lord, I want your will to be done. But Lord, I'm praying about this and I'm holding this up to you. So once Daniel repented, once he confessed his sin, and you know, sometimes that's our problem, isn't it? We're not willing to lay it down. We're not willing to confess what we've been doing. We're not willing to be honest with God. So we sit there in a stew, and God's waiting, and you're waiting. You want to be blessed, but you're just going, you know, like a little kid that just doesn't want to say what you did. Tell me what you did. You know, and you won't do it, and you won't be honest. And so you'll just continue to sit there. He wants us to confess. I love this because in Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 8, it says that once Isaiah was cleansed from his sin, after he had he was convicted of a sin, he confessed it, then he was cleansed, then it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And all of a sudden, he began to hear the voice of the Lord like never before. The voice of the Lord is so sweet. It is so exciting to hear. It is so, you know, rejuvenating and just ministering to be able to hear God's voice. Now, there are many voices, right? Many voices that you can hear. How do you know if it's God? This is, again, why we need to be in the Word. Not just at Bible study, but all through the week, doing our little studies and our devotions and just letting God speak to us. Because as he speaks to us, we're hearing him through his Word. And then, as we're meditating and praying, we're beginning to hear the same voice. See, we're lining it up. And then when a weird voice comes in, we're going, that's not God, that's a lie. I'm not going to listen to that one. See? So we have to train ourselves, don't we? How do you do that? But just becoming a disciple. A lover of God's Word, hiding it within our hearts that we would not sin against Him.
You've been listening to Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine and part of our study in Daniel. You can request today's study on CD when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Simply mention today's date to help us identify the study you're looking for. And again, that phone number is 800-353-7553. I should also mention you can go to our website to order resource materials from us and even replay today's program. We're at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Well, here in the month of May, we honor and celebrate our moms. And with that in mind, we've picked out a book written by Elizabeth Elliot. Every mom, and really every woman, needs to read this book. It's called Let Me Be a Woman. Elizabeth writes, in order to learn what it means to be a woman, we must start with the one who made her. With Scripture as her guide, author Elizabeth Elliot shares her observations and experiences in a number of essays on what it means to be a Christian woman. Whether you're single, married, or widowed, I know you'll be greatly encouraged by this book. Order it today by calling 800-353-7553 or visit sounddoctrineradio.org. Please remember that your gifts help us bring these shows to the radio every day. We rely on the Lord and the support of our listeners to make all of this happen. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. One last request. We want to know how Sound Doctrine is benefiting your walk with the Lord. So email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. And please also mention the station that you listen to. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. We'll get back into Daniel next time we meet. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, made possible through your generous support. So Father, won't you